Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies, Nature Folk, and others. In tonight's encore from October 2020, Selena discusses ways of honoring ancestors, including studying ancestral research, traditions, altars, artifacts, journeys, and rituals for enhancing understanding and deepening relationships with ancestors at Samhain time and throughout the year.
Greetings. Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and join me as we explore honoring ancestors. Ancestors, we call to you. Ancestors, we honor you. Ancestors, be with us. Ancestors, connect with us. Connecting with ancestors is a practice that humans have had since their earliest days. Different religions, spiritualities, philosophies, cultures around the world and through time have honored ancestors with a variety of practices. Sometimes those practices are centered in a particular location. Sometimes those practices involve the speaking of the name or names. Sometimes the practices involve inner journeying to commune with the ancestral realm. Tonight I will share with you some of my own experiences in working with ancestors as part of spiritual practice. So why honor ancestors? First of all, ancestors are part of us. It can increase the understanding of ourselves, of humankind, of life itself by doing ancestor work. Working with ancestors can help us evolve our identity. And by having ancestors as part of our lives in an intentional and conscious way, we are expanding our support network to include not only what many people think about for a support network, the living, but it allows us to journey across dimensions and have ancestors as also part of our support network and ourselves being part of their support network. Working with ancestors can enhance spiritual practice. By working with ancestors, we develop a deeper understanding of the mysteries of life, death, and rebirth. And by including ancestors as part of our spiritual lives, it helps us connect with dimensions that go beyond our daily minutiae. Why honor ancestors? It strengthens our connections with and the transmission of culture, of traditions, of ways of being. Recognizing that we ourselves are part of a stream of humankind that goes across the generations, in our own family lines, in cultural lines, around the world through the ages. So we are able to keep alive some of the good ways of ancestral practices. The revival of contemporary paganism in the 20th and 21st century has included connecting with some old ways of being, and by keeping some of the old folk traditions alive, in a way we are keeping those ancestral practices current and part of the here and now. And another really good reason for honoring ancestors is so that we can keep ancient ways, understandings alive for the here and now and for future generations. I invite you to join me now in a short meditation. Take some deep, slow breaths. Find a place where you can be, where you can tune in, and call to mind some imagery work to aid you in your understanding of ancestors. If you are able, I invite you to close your eyes and relax yourself. Imagine that you are in a sacred circle of light. And as you envision yourself encircled with light, I invite you now to call into your circle some imagery to aid you in connecting with the ancestral realm in a way that works for you. Imagine standing behind you your parents, and behind each of them, their parents, behind each of them, their parents, and expand your circle and envisioning to experience yourself as being in the front of a large group of those who are older than you, and for those who are no longer alive that are in the ancestral realm, as you envision them, imagine them in misty forms behind you. Experience yourself as part of a stream that has many streams, ancestral lines that flow together and have come to you. What do you carry with you within yourself that's connected with one or more of ancestors who have gone before? Let a word, a phrase, an image, a sensation come to you. And then imagine, or if you wish, actually hold your hands before you. And imagine a sphere of radiant light, like the color of starlight brilliance, forming in your hands. Feel that light growing brighter as those behind you glow and flow. And then as you open your hands, imagine that sphere of light turning into multiple rays flowing into the future. Whether you actually have children or others that are carrying on your life and legacy or not, know that you are part of the stream of spirit light of humankind. And imagine in the next few moments that spirit light flowing from you going into the future. Let a word or a phrase come to you now of something about you as a being in this incarnation. Some skills, some character traits, some way of being that you seek to send forth into the future. And imagine that going forth before you. And now as you hold your hands back together, hold them now to your heart. Give thanks to the ancestral images and experiences and connections that have manifested during this short meditation. And send well wishes to those who are yet to come. Take the circle in your images and experiences and draw them into yourself, into your memory, and give thanks. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. So one of the ways to connect with the ancestral realm and ancestors as individuals or as lines or as groups is through the power of visualization, ritual, chant, offerings, altars and shrines, working with spiritual practices. And what I'd like to do now is share with you some ideas about working with honoring ancestors. I divide types of ancestors into three categories. They're ancestors of family, and this includes not only those who you are related to genetically or by blood, DNA being passed on to you, but also family ancestors, if you are adopted or if you are part of a family system that you're not genetically related to, but you have an affinity for and you are part of that family grouping. We honor ancestors of family. When I do ancestor workshops, and this is one of the many types of ancestor workshops I have done over the years, this is the latest version of my honoring ancestors. Some people have asked me, well, my family system is a lot of dysfunction, it has problems, and how can I work with ancestors and family with so many problems? You know, I don't want to be triggered, I don't want to have traumas and other dramas rising up as I do ancestral work. Certainly, there are a lot of individual possibilities depending on the person and the circumstances. But one of the things that I talk about in response to that question is to do ancestral work with family, to call on ancestors of family in a more collective sense, and call an ancestor from your family past who is wise, who is healing, and who teaches, and to have that ancestor guide you in your ancestor work. Now, this might be a great-grandparent. It might be someone whose name you have come to know, or you've had stories or artifacts or other things passed down to you, so you have some awareness of an ancestor by name who has gone before. Or it may be ancestor of name not yet known. Sometimes in working with an ancestor, one may get a name or some deeper understanding through that work. In addition to ancestors of family, there are ancestors of place and culture. And this relates to where you are dwelling, where you're making your home now. You are part of the community of life on the land, in the region, in the area, the locale where you are. But in addition to you and others who are living now, there have been people who have made that area their home. And one of the things that has happened in more recent years in the USA, as awareness about the first peoples that lived in the Americas has become more known, is part of ancestor work to acknowledge those ancient ones that had this as their tribal territory. I'm in an area of Wisconsin that had a variety of tribes pass through. From the research that I've been able to do, not only through my connections with people from a variety of different Native American tribes in Wisconsin and other parts of the Americas, but through some written records and some lore. The area where I live and next door to where I live is Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. Ho-Chunk people once had this as part of their territory. In fact, where I presently am, on the next ridge over from a very high place known as Blue Mound. And this Blue Mound was a sacred gathering place for the Ho-Chunk. And according to some lore, it was also a place where people from a variety of different tribal connections came together in a peaceful way for exchange. Madison, Wisconsin, which is about a 35-minute drive when there isn't much traffic, has at its very heart the state capitol building. And that was also an intertribal area. So I'd invite you, as you look at exploring ancestors of place, of locale, that you look into some of the historical records and some of the lore connected with that, and to not only learn about First Peoples, but in some cases, there have been also different cultures that have left their imprint on the area. Also connected with ancestors of place and culture have to do with those who have gone into the other world, who have made a difference in the society, the culture, the nation that you are part of. In the last few weeks of this autumn 2020, a person who had made a big difference for many people in the United States of America, who broke barriers to gender equality, died. So in late September, Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed on. She was the second woman who's to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. And although she was Jewish, I never knew her, she had an impact on my life and on the life of many people. And at Samhain this year, she is one of the ancestors of culture of the USA that I will be honoring in Samhain observances. And as part of my work at Samhain time, I go back further in time. Some of my own family ancestors were part of the formation of the United States as a country. So I will honor them as family ancestors, but some of those that they worked with who also had an impact on our country, I'll also be honoring for their contributions. Now, in working with ancestors of nation, culture, place, we're all having human incarnations, and not everyone has every aspect of themselves being stellar, but that doesn't mean you can't have respect for those who have gone before and actually work with them. 2020 is a U.S. presidential election year. So as part of my work, I'm going to be calling on the founders, founding fathers, founding mothers, and inviting them at Samhain time to watch over our nation in this turbulent, chaotic, challenging time, to bring their wisdom, their guidance, their principles of separation of church and state, of constitutional freedoms, to have that be present, not only for myself personally, but for the nation as a whole. Ancestors of place and culture is something that can be part of our daily lives as well as our ancestors of family. Being aware of our connections, paying respects, having altars with images to honor them, all are powerful ways of connecting with ancestors of different types. The third type of ancestor is that of spiritual tradition. Many of us see ourselves as part of contemporary paganism and nature spirituality. There are those who have contributed to the reemergence of nature spirituality in all of its diversity, and contemporary paganism, the craft, druidism, heathenism in particular. At Samhain time, I spend time reflecting on those who have gone before that are now in the spirit world. And one of the things that I do during Samhain observances is to call their names to mind. And if they were people that I knew and have worked with, I call forth memories and images of them. Ancestors can be honored not only at Samhain, which is the new year in many spiritual traditions, including the circle craft tradition, which I practice and have helped develop, but they can be honored throughout the year. In fact, I think a really powerful way of honoring ancestors is not only having some special ceremonies at Samhain time, but to acknowledge ancestors as part of your life, to call on them for guidance and understanding, to learn about them, and to honor them. An expression that is shared in a variety of traditions at Samhain, and indeed through the rest of the year. What is remembered lives. So by having memory of ancestors, by having ancestor work being part of your spiritual practice, you energetically are supporting their continued existence in human consciousness. So what are some ways to connect with ancestors, to work with them? I've just mentioned three types of ancestors, and what I'm going to share with you about family ancestors can be worked with the other types as well. One very powerful practice is to have a place in your home where you have ancestral memorabilia. I have an ancestor altar set up. These are some sample images that I am using for demonstration purposes. I actually have many more photos and artifacts on my ancestral shrine at my own home. You may have a photograph of your ancestors and have that on your altar. It might be an image of a place, of a country, where you have ancestral connections. I have, as an example, a small plate that harkens back to a canton in Switzerland where I have ancestors from. You might have an artifact, an heirloom that's been passed on to you. And I have a cameo that my father's mother passed on to me when I was a young girl. And this helps me not only connect with her, but those who have had this before her. If you have ancestors that you know about, and it was before the emergence of photography, you might have some way of having a depiction. It might be a silhouette. It might be an illustration. And one of my ancestors, who was among the founders of the USA, James Kinsey, who was in the First Continental Congress, is depicted on my altar. I've not only worked with him at Samhain time, along with other ancestors that I seek to connect with, but because of his work with helping to birth the USA, I have used this image and worked with him and some other ancestors to help build awareness, and with people I've been talking with, to have some equal rights for pagans. He was a Quaker, not a pagan. However, he was very much one that sought to have equality in our society. And according to some information I received more than a decade ago from a scholar in New Jersey, he was in the New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, he was actually on the legal team that freed the first African slave in court back during the colonial era. I also have here on my ancestor altar an example of an artifact that's fairly contemporary. It's a image of the Virginia state flag, and it actually has a goddess on the flag, virtuous, meaning courage. Thus, always to tyrants is the Latin motto for the state. And I have this on an ancestor altar here, as well as on my regular ancestor shrine, to represent my connections with Virginia and my various ancestors who have been part of that part of America. In some cases, I've taken pictures, a portrait of a medical doctor, Dr. James Tung, on my father's mother's side. And this portrait was given to him right after he graduated with his medical degree in the early 1800s by Benjamin Rush. And Rush was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And he was considered the father of modern psychiatry and psychology in the USA. So for me, I connect with Dr. James Tung not only as an ancestor, but as somebody who's been in the mental health profession pretty much most of my adult life. This also is a reminder of that aspect of my life and heritage. Sometimes we have photographs that get passed down through family lines, and I got this photograph from an ancestor, of an ancestor on my mother's side, from a cousin who is doing ancestral research. And I work with her in a variety of ways at Solid Time and other ways. There is still mystery connected with her. She is the one in my family line that's said to have had Native American heritage. I am still attempting to find documentation to clearly point out what tribe it is and how she came to take on white culture. Some say there is an adoption, some say there is marriage. The records in Virginia got changed in the first part of the 20th century, so it made it difficult to really track Native American ancestry because of that. I just have a few examples here on this altar with me, those of you who are watching me on my Selena Fox Update Facebook main page. Have the opportunity to see this, and I honor these ancestors and all my ancestors, and I have found it really helpful to have an altar set up at Samhain, as well as to have a shrine that I have available for use throughout the year. Another thing about ancestor work is the realm of genealogy. And you do not have to be a full-blown genealogist in order to do genealogical research. I do think it is helpful to have what I call the Book of Ancestors. And I put together this loose leaf notebook and have run off family tree charts. Now, you can tell, those of you who are able to watch, that there are a lot of pages in this family tree. And part of that has to do with what kind of information you're able to find out and how far back lines you can take. You may want to run off a family tree chart and put it in a book. You may want to write names of the ancestors that you know about and things that you know, their birth year and death year, if you can find that out, and where they lived, and to actually have what you might call the Book of Ancestral Names. For me, having a book with it in family tree form for the multiple generations has been really helpful to actually not only have the ability to look at it online, but to be able to look at it physically and have it present for ancestor rituals. In addition to finding out about the names of ancestors and a bit about where they were born, where they lived, where they died, where they're buried, the dates, that basic information, learn their stories. Samhain is a really powerful time to do ancestral research. The veil between this world and the other world is thin, and the synchronistic aspect of having good energies converge to bring about understanding about ancestors, this is a really good time to do research. Where to begin? Talk with living relatives. See what they know and see who they know that may have actually done your family history. If you are looking at ancestors of place and culture, then go to the local historical society. If you're looking at ancestors of spiritual tradition, then talk with others who are practitioners of that tradition. Some spiritual traditions have lineages and initiatory lines, others do not. But most traditions that have been around for at least a few decades will have people who have helped shape that tradition that have passed on, and there'll be people with living memory of those people. In addition to looking at names and stories, I want to share with you some specific ways that you can connect with that form of honoring ancestors. So learn, gather information and set it down, and very importantly, document your sources. Was this a story someone gave you? Who was that person? When did they tell you? And if you are able, in this age of smartphones with video and photographs, do a video, if you can, of the relative or other person who's telling you an ancestral story so that you can have that available. And someday you could pass that information on, and even the video on, depending on your archiving abilities and what people are open to others in the future. In addition to learning, it's really important that you record, you set down information in a way that not only you can reference it, but you can pass this on to others. Commune. Well, you have names, you have stories, you've set it down, spend some time getting to know one or more of your ancestors. I think a good way of doing this is to work with a particular ancestor at a time rather than attempting to do multiple ancestors at once. Or if it's a great-great grandmother and grandfather, and it's a couple, you may work with them together. And part of the reason for that is to be able to deepen your ability to make that connection energetically and intuitively. Part of the way to commune is to set up an ancestor altar for that communion. And if you don't have artifacts, heirlooms, photographs, but you have their names, write the name or names down on a card and place it on an altar. Kindle a candle. One of the handy things about having battery-operated votives at solid time, you are able to leave them burning safely at your ancestor altar. In addition to communing through meditation, speaking their names, you may want to do a ritual. You may want to formally honor with an offering, with words, with chants, inviting them to come and be with you and connect with you in a deeper way. In doing ancestor work and setting it down, keep in mind what's going to happen with this information when the time comes for you to cross over into the ancestor realm. I encourage you, as you do your own ancestor work, to do end-of-life planning, whatever your age is, have a plan in place and be able to share information to pass this on to others. It might take the form of some historical society or museum. A lot of local history has been preserved by people choosing to take photographs of family trees, stories, written accounts, and without having any descendants, being able to take them to a historical society or a local museum or some other location that gathers information. It's a way of preserving that. So long after you've gone into the ancestral realm, others seeking to have that connection are able to do so. And I see, in addition to learning, recording, communing, transmitting, transforming, work with ancestors is a really powerful way of enriching your life as well as doing a service for those who've gone before. So, some additional things to do. I have with me here an example of an ancestral spirit plate altar, and I set up something similar to this at Samhain time at the main Samhain celebration in our household, and I celebrate Samhain over a period of days and nights, actually most of the month of October, but my Samhain preparations and celebrations go into a strong connection mode beginning with my birthday, which is October 20th, which is next Tuesday. And during this Samhain time, I set up a specific household Samhain ancestral shrine. I have images, artifacts, and things from my family, and my husband, Dennis, has photographs and artifacts from his family line, and each year we select certain ancestors that we will have some special workings with, and we will put an image or their name, an heirloom, on our household altar, and in the center of that altar or nearby, we set up our spirit plate with some food from our Samhain household dinner and some beverage in a cup. We also candle a spirit light, and this spirit light I kindle in honor of someone connected with me. We had ancestors way back in time, but also someone who is part of our spiritual community and someone who contributed to paganism. And Beckett, I honor you. And I also will have a portal connection, and I like using quartz crystals. And in addition to having the spirit plate and the spirit cup and the candle and the portal focal point there, I will sometimes add incense or flowers or other things, and that becomes a focal point for being able to connect with and honor ancestors. And if you're going to be leaving it up for several days and nights, then what I suggest you do is get one of these battery-operated candles so that you can actually have that spirit light burning safely throughout your Samhain observances. But you can have an ancestor altar set up year-round, and whether you call it an altar or a shrine, I'll leave that up to you. There are many ways of creating it. It does not have to be a huge thing. Many people have a wall in their home where they hang photographs of dead relatives as a way of remembering and honoring them and having them part of one's home. So if you have one of those walls of beloved dead and ancestors, in a way, you have an ancestor altar. It doesn't have to be on a table, such as I have set up here. So some approaches to working with ancestors. Focus on a particular ancestor, and you may set up an entire altar with that in mind. You're going to use that altar to connect with that specific ancestor. Or you may want to work with an ancestral line, and you would have images, artifacts, names connected with a particular line. When I've worked with my Kinsey ancestor, I have been able to take some of the family line back over into Wales, where they came from. And while that research is still ongoing, I am able to work not only with his image, but I have some imagery from Wales that I work with that help me link into that ancestral line. Ancestral place. Go to an ancestral place if you're able to do so. Physically visit it, or visit it in your mind, or if it's a place that has some public access, you may be able to visit it online. If you know you have ancestors from a particular nation, well, imagine yourself connecting with that nation and learn about the history of that place. If you're able to get specific place names for an ancestor, that really helps focus your attunement. Work with an ancestral trait. So, James did not take up arms in the Revolutionary War because he was a Quaker and a pacifist. However, he was a warrior in a different way, and he was an attorney. So he worked with resilience, and he had the use of his mind and thoughts and the legal profession to help bring about a better reality for his area and for our country. So I consider him a freedom fighter, even though he wasn't running around with a musket during the Revolutionary War. So I, during the Pinnacle Quest, I actually took this image of James Kinsey with me when I met with the Deputy Undersecretary for Memorial Affairs at VA headquarters across from the White House in Lafayette Park. And it was July 5th when I went in to meet with him and other bureaucrats in an attempt to get the five-pointed star in the encircle, the pentacle, on the list of emblems of belief that can be put on a grave marker that Veterans Affairs issues for deceased veterans. With me was Roberta Stewart, whose husband was the first Wiccan killed in action in Operation Enduring Freedom. And we had gone to the Hill, Capitol Hill, and one of the people, we were multi-partisan in our support for this. So someone from Senator Reid's office came with us for support. We went around the room doing introductions, and it was really clear they wanted this meeting short, that they were going through the motions for us, but it didn't look like we were really going to get much action, and I was really hoping Roberta could tell her story. So as we're going around and doing introductions, and I was last to speak a name, I spoke my name, and then I pulled up James Kinsey, and I said, and yes, I also have here with me James Kinsey, my ancestor, who is in the First Continental Congress. And at this time where we have been thinking of American independence, I want you to call to mind the importance of having equality, liberty, and justice for all. So yes, I have had James Kinsey help me with pagan religious freedom battles. One of the things that I have as an ancestor trait from my Quaker heritage is a tradition as part of spiritual practice to sit in silence, to receive guidance, and to share that guidance as the Spirit moves us. I've sat in Quaker meeting, and as part of understanding, this is a different Quaker line, Richard Johns from Maryland, and Johns Hopkins actually is from that family line. The Johns family is what Richard Johns was connected with. He was persecuted for being a Quaker for his religion, and yet he was able to do ministry and evolve Quakerism forward. I learned that on the Maryland Eastern Shore, there was a meeting house, and I went to that meeting house, that 300-year-old plus meeting house, to connect with ancestral place and to connect with my Quaker heritage, with people from that community, and what a powerful way of doing ancestor work. You can work with the ancestral realm collectively, and that's part of what I do at Sawan. I balance work with a particular ancestor or several ancestors, depending on the length of time for the ceremony And in addition to honoring the particular ancestor or ancestors of the Samhain time each year, and it changes from year to year, I will work with the ancestors as a whole. And one way that I do that is through doing an ancestor chant, such as what I began this podcast and workshop with. Ancestors teach us, guide us, help us. Ancestors teach us, guide us, help us. Ancestors teach us, guide us, help us. And so one of my practices is to invite the ancestor realm as a whole, to honor it, and to invite from that realm an ancestor to come to me in a way that it's safe and right for me, the context in which I'm at, and for the ancestral presence. And I've gotten some information through that approach to ancestor work that I've later followed up on with research and looking into clues and messages that have come to me. In addition to these ancestral practices, I'd like to invite you, as we prepare to close here, that you consider honoring the ancestors, thinking about ancestors, as part of your ongoing spiritual practice. Some people will do a blessing or an honoring at an ancestor shrine every day as part of daily spiritual practice. Some will spend a few moments and acknowledge oneself as part of the larger continuity of human life. So that's another approach to working with ancestors on a daily basis. Call on the ancestors as part of Sabbath celebrations and moon celebrations. Call on the spirit of place. And at funerals, calling on the ancestor or ancestors connected with the deceased is a powerful way of honoring the life now past and to put forth blessings for the one who's crossed over, who's now part of the ancestral realm. But you don't have to limit passage rite to funerals, burials, crossing overs, death passage rites for ancestor work. Marriages, births, baby blessings, coming of age into a young adulthood, coming of age into seniorhood. These are all really powerful times of celebration, marking a stage in one's life passage, and honor the ancestors as well as the living. Invite the ancestors to be present. Have an ancestral crystal or other token of remembrance on the altar for that passage rite. And, of course, Samhain, a time for honoring the dead and looking ahead to the new year. Powerful time for honoring and connecting with ancestors. So these are just a few of the ways that I've worked with and doing ancestor work. And let us conclude with something that I think is very important with ancestor work. We call them, we remember them, we learn about them, we ask for their help, their teaching, their guidance. We need also to thank them. Ancestors, We thank you, ancestors. We thank you, ancestors. We thank you. Thanks to all of you who have tuned in live. Thanks to all of you who will tune in later. For the audio podcast is archived. Go to circlesanctuary.org to the CSNP section of our website and go to Honoring Ancestors and you will have that link. And on my Selena Fox updates page on Facebook, you will also see this live stream archived. Before signing off, I want to invite you to attend my Ancestral Portals workshop on Saturday, October 17th at noon Eastern Daylight Time. You can go to my Selena Fox updates page on Facebook, or you can go to the Hallowed Homecoming page and you can find out about not only my workshop and how to register, but all the various workshops that are part of the series. I want to give thanks to David and Jeanette Ewing, to Deborah Rose, to Laura Gonzalez, to Casey Pope, who are part of our CSMP team. I want to give thanks to Circle Sanctuary for its ongoing support of internet radio ministry as well as live streaming work and social media. Circle Sanctuary is having its Samhain gathering on October 30th and 31st, 2020. It's virtual. So go to the Circle Sanctuary website to learn more about that. I will be doing a special workshop on cemetery rituals and talking about ways to work at cemeteries at Samhain time and throughout the year. Many thanks, many blessings. Be safe, be well. All hail the ancestors, now and in times to come. So be it.
Bodies on the forest floor, the crone collects bones. The crone gathers the bones, she reads the symbols on the stones, she gathers up her herbs. You may say it is absurd, but she can cure you of your ills, so you can shake those nasty pills. She is the crone, the wisdom of the crone. Embrace the wisdom. wise woman, medicine queen of the bone. Flowers, 'cause she knows their sacred powers. She has the gift of sight. She will see you through your darkest night. No wisdom on the throne. Crone gathers the bones, the crystals of the stones. The wild and woven moon can bring the flesh back to your bones. She can call your spirit home. Do not fear.
Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org, and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.